He's here. Let him in.
What up? Good afternoon to everyone besides Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. Welcome to the brand new edition of Second City Sabs Hot Takes. And it is Wednesday, a lovely Wednesday afternoon. It got almost to 50 degrees today, and it is December the 9th, if you can believe that. And it got to 50 degrees. But anyway, welcome in. Second City Sabs Hot Takes is back on the air with a fresh new episode. Full slate of topics ahead for you today. You can follow me on Twitter at Second City Sam. I post a ton there, usually anything sports related or anything newsworthy going on with any of the teams in Chicagoland, or I tweet a lot about professional wrestling, so you can give me a follow there at Second City Sam. And yeah, so let's go over what we got going on today. It is it's a pretty normal slate of topics today. Bears, of course, they are, you know, I think we all know what the Bears did. They lost their sixth straight versus the Lions last Sunday. We're going to talk everything Bears, go in depth on what happened, talk about a few personal individuals that need talking about. Notre Dame, they defeated Syracuse last week. They remain at number 2 in the CFB rankings. Talk a little bit of college football. Of course, all of the NFL picks of the week that usually tank. Last week, I almost won money on them, but almost only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades. Gonna talk about the hot stove. It's heating up, especially on the south side. The White Sox making a few moves just a day or two ago. So we're gonna talk some big-time White Sox today. Not a whole lot going on with the Cubs, so we may leave them out. Talk a little NHL. Some news coming out just recently, actually, about the NHL and their season, which is supposed to begin January 13th as of right now. And of course, finishing off the show, we're going to talk some pro wrestling, NXT, AEW Dynamite. NXT War Games was last Sunday. That was really fun. We're going to talk Raw and SmackDown per usual. It's going to be a fun show. It may not be as long a show as usual, but we're going to get there. And starting off the show, let's get her going, as we do most every week, with your questions of the week. Not too many today. Got plenty of questions, though, to discuss. So let's get her started here. From the lovely Hannah Tannis. You get one sports-related Christmas gift. A trade, a win, a player, dropping a player, salary increase, anything you want. What are you asking Sports Santa for? You can ask for a player to return or to relive a championship win, anything you want. So one sports-related Christmas gift, that's tough, because I've witnessed four championships in my time from my favorite teams. If I had to relive a championship win for a day, it doesn't even have to be that, she says. It could be anything. A trade, a win, a player, dropping a player. I think I'd have to say Marian Hossa never retiring. That may sound weird. Obviously, I'm a big Marian Hossa fan, but, you know, as soon as Marian Hossa retired, the Blackhawks franchise took a nosedive. And, you know, they were in the playoffs during his last season in the NHL. And after that, they just, they took a turn for the worst. You know, whether it be from bad trades from Stan Bowman or just not developing young town into what it used to be. I don't know. I don't know if I don't know if bringing Marian Hossa back and not ever having him retire would change anything that happened afterward. But, you know, getting to watch my favorite player of all time play the game that I love was pretty special. So, I mean, it was too easy for me to pick a championship win because obviously it was a lot of fun to live that, and having it happen again would be great. But, I mean, reliving it, what's the fun in that? Things only happen once, and that's what makes it special. So, yeah, I guess I'll just pick the Marian Hossa not retiring thing to as my answer for that. Thanks for the question, honey. From Will Garrick, how do you feel about esports such as COD League and Overwatch League? Will. I never thought anybody would ask this question, and personally, I do not watch it because it is trash. Don't even dare call it esports either. I don't care what they call it these days. I'm not saying you're the one who calls it that, but that is in no way a sport, and it requires no talent whatsoever. Are they good at the games? Yeah, great. If I had no freaking life, I could be good at a game too. You know, these guys get paid. They get paid to play video games as if they're some kind of freaking athlete. What in the blue hell is that? Esports, Call of Duty, and Overwatch. That is a joke. And the fact that I see it on ESPN on occasion, that makes me sick to my stomach. But people want to make fun of pro wrestling being a sport. For God's sake. And then you go watch your supposed esports on ESPN. Holy crap. Will, I think that might answer your question on how I feel about esports. I think that is the biggest crap ever invented. But thank you for the question. That was a fun one. I was looking forward to answering that one. From John Spano. Who are you interested in for the Bears head coaching vacancy, soon to be vacant, in quotations? I don't know. I don't really know what, you know, the options are going to be at the end of the season. I'm sure there's going to be some other firings. Maybe one of those that will interest the Bears. I'm hearing rumors that Pat Fitzgerald, the head coach of Northwestern, would be a possibility for the Bears. But I'm not really sure how I feel about that. College coaches just, it never seems to work out on a college coach who, you know, coming from the college to the NFL, it just never, ever seems to work out. Pat Fitzgerald has been a great head coach for Northwestern for a long time, but I'm not sure that the conversion to the NFL would that be that seamless, and I'm not sure the Bears would be a great choice for your first head coaching job out of college, because the Bears are one big fat-ass disaster right now. So I'm not sure Pat Fitzgerald wants to be the next scapegoat, I mean head coach of the Chicago Bears. Who would I be interested in? I'm not sure. I always wanted Bill Cowher, and I know he's still with CBS Sports and everything. But I'm hearing rumors that he may come out and coach again, maybe the Jets job he's saying. But I'd really love Bill Cowher to coach Chicago Bears. He hasn't coached since 2005, a really long time. But if John Gruden can do it, so could Bill Cowher. And Bill Cowher was a hell of a head coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who, of course, won that championship against the Seattle Seahawks in 05, I believe, is last year. So, yeah, I'd like to see Bill Cowher. If I had to choose anybody, Bill Cowher would be my guy. Always was a fan. Second question from John Spano. Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields or BYU quarterback Zach Wilson for the Bears? You know what? I think I'd have to pick Justin Fields. It may be the easy answer, but he just seems like he's the most NFL ready. Zach Wilson is a really good quarterback. He's got a great arm out of BYU, but I'm not sure that BYU, anybody playing BYU, I'm not sure that's very impressive. BYU, they lost to Coastal Carolina. And I'm not sure they play anybody very spectacular to where you could see anything huge out of Zach Wilson. BYU, not a big, you know, big market college, I guess you can call it. But I mean, the kid's really good. I've seen a lot from him. I wouldn't mind the Bears taking him because I don't think Justin Fields is going to be available for the Bears. I've heard also Kyle Trask from the Florida Gators could be a possibility for the Bears. So that would be... I think Zach Wilson and Kyle Trask are more realistic options for the Bears because I think Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields are going to be gone before the Bears have an opportunity to draft them unless they trade up, of course. So, I mean, if I had to pick between those two, I'd pick Justin Fields, but I would not be upset if the Bears were to drop down after Fields and Lawrence get drafted and wind up with a guy like Zach Wilson or Kyle Trask at quarterback. Because at this point, what do you have to lose? You failed at every other, at every other option. You couldn't draft a quarterback. You couldn't trade for a quarterback. So, I mean, you may as well just start over and draft one, right? John, thank you for the question, brother. All right. This one from Brendan Hughes. Another wrestling question for you. What's worse for the current state of wrestling? Goldberg versus Roman Reigns in WWE or Sting being a full-time performer in AEW? Well, you know, that's a tough one. Sting, obviously, debuting for AEW last Wednesday on Dynamite. Pretty big moment. Rumor going around he's going to be a full-time performer at 62 years old or 61, whatever he is. Goldberg, obviously rumored to be in the ring soon, probably against Roman Reigns. I think both of them are pretty bad for the current state of wrestling, Brendan. But I think if I had to pick one, I think it would be Sting being a full-time performer because, I mean, Goldberg does one-off things. I don't like his one-off matches at all. And I think him versus Roman Reigns would be one big shit show. But, I mean, it's a one-off thing. So you could do it, and then, you know, it's done. See you later. Unless Goldberg were to win the title, which in that case would be a huge disaster. But I don't think that would happen. But Sting being a full-time performer in AEW is just ludicrous. And the fact that fans are excited about that is kind of silly. Because, you know, we saw what happened when he came into WWE. He got hurt in one of his, three matches in the company? And the WWE doctors would not clear him since? And they never cleared him? So he goes to the sloppy shop known as AEW and he's able to wrestle there. So I'm not sure. I don't think that would be smart of them to have him be a full-time performer. Maybe a manager role, that would be something cool. Maybe for Darby Allin, but... Yeah, I don't think Sting being a full-time performer at this age is really safe for him or the company of AEW. So I'd have to pick that. I'd have to pick Sting being a full-time performer for that question. Thank you, Brendan, for that question. Yeah, that should be it. Yes, that is it. So thank you for everyone who sent questions today. And every week, you guys are awesome. It's a lot of fun to answer your questions and how different they are. If you don't want to send sports questions every week, you don't have to. I answer any questions you want. It could be about sports. It could be about wrestling because I love that stuff and that's what I mostly talk about on the show. But you got something, a food comparison, whatever, pizza or tacos or whatever that stuff may be, send them my way. I will answer them every week on Second City Sam's Hot Takes to begin the show. And thanks for sending those questions this week. And we're going to get started with the show right now with the Bears. Unfortunately, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have to talk about the Bears. They lost their sixth straight for the first time. Since 2002, the Chicago Bears have lost six straight games. This loss, of course, coming in miserable fashion to the Detroit Lions, which, losing to the Lions is one thing, but the way the Bears lost was a joke. They lose 34-30, but that isn't the story. They were up 10 with 3-4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and Mitch Trubisky and the Bears have the ball, and somehow... Some way, Mitch Trubisky drops back on a third down a third and long, may I add, and he gets strip sacked, and the Bears lose the ball. The Lions have it at the 4 or 5 yard line or whatever it is, and they punch it in, they score, and the and somehow the Bears lose the game. It is absolutely mind-blowing that that could happen at that point of the game to what was an offense that had played really well that entire game. The Bears played well. They scored 30 points. But what may be more concerning is that the Lions scored 34 points. What is going on with the Bears' supposed elite Super Bowl winning defense that all these experts had said we had the whole year? Not me. I hated the Bears defense the entire year. I think they've sucked. You could tell they've sucked. It is not the same defense from two seasons ago. It's not even the same defense from last year. So I don't know. You be the judge. If you look at the team stats, the Bears, they won in almost every category. First downs, 26-24 Bears. Rush yards, 140 for the Bears and 60 for the Lions. Everything besides the quarterback position was won by the Bears. Time of possession, 32 minutes to 27 minutes. Not a huge drop off, but still the Bears had the advantage in it. So, I mean, look at it whatever way you want. Mitch Trubisky played really well, but we lost the game. Mitch Trubisky goes 26 of 34 for 267 and one touchdown pass. That solid day at the office. No picks. But the fumble at the end killed any praises that he was going to get, from this game. Because at the end of the day, they lost, and that's the reason why they lost. But another reason why they lost is that the defense gave up 34 points to the Lions. A Lions football team without Kenny Golladay, their best receiver. A Lions football team without DeAndre Swift, their best running back. Their number one wide receiver right now is Marvin Jones Jr. No disrespect to him, but he's not a number one. They lost the game to an aging Adrian Peterson. The guy's old. He's been in the league since 2008? 7? He's 35. He's not what he used to be anymore. But he still scored twice against the Bears. The defense sucks. I really, really would like to know how they go from an elite defense who turns the football over constantly to a defense that maybe gets one turnover every couple of games, to a defense who can't rush the quarterback, to a defense that can't make a key tackle, to a defense that can't get off the field on third down. Chuck Pagano has chewed this defense up, chewed it up, and spit it out, and threw it on the field. I don't know what the hell happened, but it's sad to see a defense with so much talent, especially up front. I wasn't too confident that the defense would be good this year, but I thought for damn sure that the defensive front would be the strong suit of the defense. It's been horrible this year. Robert Quinn practically stole money from the Bears because he hasn't done a thing. He has one sack this season. Khalil Mack gets held every play, sure. But Aaron Donald gets held every play too, and the guy's still making plays. Khalil Mack's not earning his money, as far as I'm concerned. Akeem Hicks, not earning his money as far as I'm concerned. Nobody on that defensive line, and I don't know if they just missed Eddie Goldman that much, but they still have a guy like Bilal Nichols, who could fill that spot rather well. And you know what? There's no other guy that's stepping up to the plate either to make plays on this defensive line. It's just not happening. Roy Robertson-Harris was playing fine. He's injured now. So the Bears are lost on defense. Kyle Fuller can't cover one-on-one to save his life. He's a great zone quarterback. Never had a problem with that. But one-on-one, man-man, oh man, he's getting burned every time. No matter the receiver. Jalen Johnson, he's quietly held his own the last few weeks since his struggles about a month or two ago. Eddie Jackson ain't the same player anymore. It seems like as soon as Adrian Amos split, Eddie Jackson hasn't done a thing. They called him the ball hawk. What does he have this year? One turnover? Eddie Jackson ain't a ball hawk no more. I don't know, man. It's getting ugly for the Chicago Bears. It really has. And it doesn't seem like it's going to be getting any better anytime soon, unless huge changes come throughout the organization. And as for the Lions game, you can't blame Mitch Trubisky for it. Simple. I mean, that turnover, sure, could have been avoided. He got sacked. He lost the football. You got to protect the football, especially in your own on your own side of the field. But, you know, that was his only mistake all game long, and it just so happened that it came in the fourth quarter. If it happens in the first or second quarter, or even the third quarter, we're not talking about this right now. We're talking about, hey, he had a pretty good game. The offense scored 30 points. Trubisky ran a good offense. Yes, but the defense is what we should be talking about. Trubisky did okay. He gave up the turnover, which ultimately cost him the game. But the defense gave up 400 yards to Matthew Stafford without his number one receiver. Matthew Stafford went 27 of 42 for 402 yards and 3 touchdown passes. I mean, that's not going to get it done. Third down conversions, they were 6 of 11. That's over 50% for those who can't do math. Which is me, I can't do math. It's, you know, the defense, I don't know. People could say that the Packers game screwed up the defense's confidence, but honestly, they've been less than stellar all season long, in my opinion. If you can't see that, then I'm sorry for your luck, but that's just the way it is. The Bears defense hasn't been any good. This was one of the rare occasions that the defense didn't have to bail out the offense. The offense had to help out the defense yesterday, and they did that, and they still didn't get it done. I mean, they ran the ball well, even. David Montgomery ran it 17 times for 72 yards. Cordero Patterson ran it 10 times for 59 yards. So, I don't know what else. I don't know what else you could do to win the game on offense there. At some point, when the defense, you know, when it mattered most, the defense couldn't get it done. That's that. And unfortunately for the Bears, that cost them a win. And coming out of that win, Bears fans were rightfully pissed off. Rightfully pissed off. Fire everyone trended around Chicago on Twitter for almost a day after the Bears lost that game. Bears fans are fed up with the incompetence of this football team. It's been over 30 years. 30 years this team has sucked. And you know, Ted Phillips, president of the Bears, I'm starting to believe that it starts with him. At what point do you say that the Bears ownership is a failure? At what point do the McCaskies grow some balls? I'll just put it that way. At what point does the McCaskies grow balls and fire Ted Phillips and bring in a new regime, new president, fire Ryan Pace, new general manager, fire Matt Nagy, new head coach, and you could throw firing Chuck Pagano in there too, because I've had it with the way he runs this defense. I want wholesale changes. I think the Bears need wholesale changes. Ted Phillips has been the president of the Bears. Oh, boy. Long time. I think, what, 99? I think that would be just about right. Let's see. Ted Phillips. President of the Bears since... yeah, 1999. There you go. So that's 20 years of failure. How many playoff wins in that time? Three, I believe. One, two, three. Yeah, three playoff wins as president of the Chicago Bears. Unacceptable. Changes need to be made. Simple as that. And I could go on and on about it and bitch about it the whole time on this show, but it's not getting me anywhere. So I'm gonna move on. I did want to mention this because it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny, but it's also kind of sad. But we're all about sad things on this show, apparently, since I have to talk about the damn Bears all the time. So I am 24 years old. I've been around, you know, almost a quarter century now. As a Bears fan, I want to let you know what I've gone through. And Bears fans who are listening to this show, they know exactly what I and they have gone through. Let's start on my birth year. Chicago Bears, 1996, 7-9. 1997, 4-12. 98, 4-12. 99, 6-10. 2000, 5-11. 2001, 13-3. Lost the divisional game, the first game of the playoffs. 2002, 4-12. 2003, 7-9. 2004, 5-11. 2005, 11-5. Lost the first game of the playoffs. 2006, 13-3. Lost in the Super Bowl. Great year. Fun year. 2007, 7-9. 2008, 9-7. 2009, 7-9. 2010, 11-5. Lost conference championship against the Green Bay Packers. Fun year. 2011, 8-8. 2012, 10-6. Fired Lovie Smith. Didn't make the playoffs somehow at 10-6. 2013, 8-8. 2014, 5-11. 2015, 6-10. 2016, 3-13. 2017, 5-11. 2018, 12-4. Lost the wild card game, first game of the playoffs. 2019, 8-8. And 2020, here we are. 5-1 to 5-7. Just another losing season coming up for the Bears. So in my 24 years of existence, the Bears have had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7 winning seasons. And one of those are a 9-7 record, which is not saying anything. That just goes to show how frickin' bad the Bears have been since my inception, I guess you will call it. The Bears are bad, and it's not going to get any better either, because this Sunday they play the Houston Texans. It's the Deshaun Watson revenge game, baby. Bears passed up on Deshaun Watson to draft Mitchell Trubisky, number 2 overall. Woo, here we are. Sean Jackson going to make the Bears look foolish, even without his star receiver, Will Fuller, who got suspended for PEDs, and he is out the rest of the season. I don't even know who he's going to throw the ball to, but it doesn't matter because he's going to own the Bears. It's just the way it is these days, ladies and germs. So we got the Bears, we got the Texans, I believe at noon. Who really cares at this point? The Bears should just lose and keep losing until they're 5-11 and this miserable season is over with. So yeah, there is your Chicago Bears talk. And let's keep her going with some Notre Dame talk. They defeated Syracuse 45-21. They remain number two in the college football rankings. My Irish, they finished their regular season with a perfect record and will face Clemson in the ACC championship game, which I'm sure they'll blow it because that's what Notre Dame does in big games. But we're going to see. Trevor Lawrence is back. They're not going to be playing that Uiagalelei guy again. So that should be a fun game. I don't know when that is yet. But some other news out of college football, Ohio State versus Michigan, the game, got canceled. It is a no-go, which before today, it meant that Ohio State would not be eligible for the Big Ten championship game because they didn't play six games. However, being the joke that college football is, the Big Ten have dropped. They've dropped having to play six games because they really want Ohio State in that championship game. So it's going to be Ohio State versus Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game, which Ohio State will inevitably win because that's going to be a blowout. Simple as that. Other than that, top four in college football rankings, they stay the same. Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State in that order. We'll see what happens after these championship games. Anything changes in that scenario, see who makes the playoffs come that time. But here we go. NFL Picks of the Week is coming up next. And let me get the schedule up. It's going to be another fun week of losing predictions. So here we go. Thursday Night Football. New England Patriots versus Los Angeles Rams. Week 14 NFL. In that game, you know, the Patriots, I picked the Chargers to beat the Patriots last week. Boy, I could not have been any more wrong. A shutout, I believe it was 45-0 in favor of the Pats, and it got ugly. The Chargers are just, they don't know whether they want to come or go. They're so ridiculous right now. They have a star quarterback, and he's going to be good, but that game had to set back his confidence a lot. Anyway, Patriots, Rams, I'm going to go with the Rams. I think it's going to be a close game. Give the Rams a 5-point victory. Tennessee Titans versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Titans got owned last week by the Cleveland Browns, and that was a very surprising loss. That's not going to happen this week against the Jags. The Titans are going to rebound. They're going to win the game by 12 points. Minnesota Vikings versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Good game. Vikings are, again, another team they don't know if they want to come or go. I'm going to pick the Bucks. I'm going to have them win by a touchdown. Brady gets back going here. Kansas City Chiefs versus the Miami Dolphins. Quietly going to be a good game. Tua Tagovailoa is becoming really comfortable in his new spot as the Dolphins' front man and quarterback. And obviously Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are on top of the world right now as a duo. I think they're going to win the game. It's going to be close. I think the Chiefs are going to go 15-1, man. I can't see them losing another game. But I think the Chiefs are going to beat the Dolphins only by three because the Dolphins are going to hang in there tough. That's a good football team. Denver Broncos versus the Carolina Panthers. That's a pretty ugly game. I think Christian McCaffrey is back. So I'm going to pick the Panthers to win by five. Again, that's not a game that I even want to predict. That's an ugly game. All right, Houston Texans, Chicago Bears. My final analysis is this. The Bears lost a game last week against the Lions because of a Mitch Trubisky fumble, right? He played a good game. The offense was fine. They scored 30 points. However, that fumble at the end had to screw Mitch up. I do not see them scoring another 30 points the entire season. So I'm going to have to pick the Texans to win this game. 27-17, Texans win the game. Sorry again, Bears fans. Arizona Cardinals versus the New York Football Giants. You know what? The Giants are in first place. They're tied with the Washington Football Team in the NFC East. And you know what? They're actually a pretty good team. I'm just kidding. guys. I'm just kidding. The Lions or the Giants still suck. Daniel Jones is injured. He may or may not play. They'd like to have him back by Sunday. They're not 100% sure. The Cardinals have had a rough go of it the last few weeks. I'm going to have to pick the Cardinals to win this game, get back on track. I really like that football team. I think they're going to be good next year and the year after and so on with Kyler Murray at the helm. So I'm going to pick the Cardinals to win by a touchdown. Dallas Cowboys versus the Cincinnati Bengals. Holy crap, that's a bad game. I think the Cowboys are actually going to get a win here. No Joe Burrow for the Bengals, obviously. It's getting pretty ugly over there. Andy Dalton did some okay work with the Cowboys. So, yeah, I'll pick the Cowboys to win in a crummy game. I'll give them a, 7-point victory. I keep wanting to say Baltimore Colts every week. What's up with that? I don't live in the 60s. All right, Indianapolis Colts versus the Las Vegas Raiders. Good game coming up. Obviously, Raiders got smacked by the Falcons a couple weeks ago, but they barely beat the Jets last week in overtime. Not in overtime. I can't remember if it was in overtime. Yeah, I'm going to pick the Colts by 2 points. Let's give them a 2-point victory. Jets, Seahawks. The Seahawks are miserable right now. What is going on with that team? They lose to Daniel Jones-less Giants team, if I could spit it out. Somehow score only 12 points in that game against Colt McCoy. They did not get the job done. But this time they're playing the Jets, and there is no way the Jets are beating the Seahawks. And for that, I'm sure I'm going to regret saying that because the Jets are inevitably going to get their first win because I picked the Seahawks. But I'm going to give the Seahawks the victory by 16 points. All right, divisional Green Bay Packers versus the Detroit Lions. The Lions are riding kind of high right now after that victory against the Bears. That's going to end real quick. The Packers are going to win this one rather easily. I'll give them a 14-point victory. All right, Atlanta Falcons versus the Los Angeles Chargers. You know what? Two crummy football teams find ways to lose. One of these teams has to win unless they tie. I'm going to pick the Falcons to win this game. The Chargers got embarrassed last week. I don't see him. I don't see him coming back from that. Falcons are going to win this game by 10 points. All right, Washington football team versus the what do we got here? Washington football team versus the San Francisco 49ers. You know, Alex Smith's story is really, really fun right now, and I'm really glad that he has come back, he's had success, and he hasn't lost yet in his starting role with the Washington football team. And they're tied for first place right now, and I hope they keep winning. So in that case, I'm going to pick them to beat the Niners in a close game, give them a 3-point victory, beating the 49ers. Go Alex Smith. Comeback player of the year, baby. New Orleans Saints versus the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles finally benched Carson Wentz, finally showing some accountability. Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback now for the Eagles, so it's going to be Jalen Hurts versus, could be Drew Brees, could be, but it's probably going to be Jalen Hurts versus Taysom Hill. And that is a quarterback combo that you would probably have never thought you'd see starting in the NFL. But the Saints are going to win the game because the Eagles are a dumpster fire, so I'll pick the Saints to win by 8. And Sunday Night Football, Pittsburgh Steelers and the Buffalo Bills. That is a game that I can't wait to watch. It's going to be a lot of fun. Bills, Steelers. Steelers finally getting beaten by that Alex Smith-led Washington football team. Their first loss of the year. That was so awesome. So awesome. If there was ever a team to beat the Steelers, I didn't think it would be the Washington football team, but I thought it may be the Bills. But I think I'm going to have to go Steelers here. I'm going to pick the Steelers in a really close game. I'm going to give them a 1-point victory. Finally, Monday Night Football. Damn, the Ravens are on primetime again. All right. Baltimore Ravens versus the Cleveland Browns. The Browns look mighty impressive. The Ravens, they beat the Cowboys last night. But I think the Browns are they're riding high right now with Baker Mayfield and, you know, that running game they got with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. They got Jarvis Landry, and they're doing all this without Odell Beckham Jr., which really means nothing because I think he's the biggest overrated wide receiver in the league. I think the Browns are going to win this game, and I'm going to give them the win by 6, beating the Baltimore Ravens. That, ladies and gentlemen, is your NFL Picks of the Week. If you would like to submit your NFL Picks of the Week, please do so on my Twitter account, at Second City Sam. I also post the Picks of the Week on Sundays on the show's Facebook page. Just search in Second City Sam's Hot Takes on Facebook. Give that page a follow. Give that page a like. And you will be up to date on my NFL Picks of the Week. And you can submit yours as well. Also, show me some of your parlays you may have for this weekend coming up. You know, whether it be a 3-pick or a 12-pick. Send me your games. Let me know what you're up to on there on your DraftKings or FanDuel or whatever the hell you use. Or PointsBet, whatever. And I will judge you accordingly based on your picks. So, yeah, submit them to me, guys. Of course, follow me at Second City Sam, always. And that is your NFL talk for today. And coming up next, after a quick timeout, I'm going to be talking some hot stove action with the MLB, mostly the Chicago White Sox, because they got a lot going on right now. And I want to talk a little bit about the NHL, about how they're eyeing a January 13th start. A tweet that just came out just a few hours ago. And, of course, I'm going to be finishing the show with some wrestling talk. Don't you go away. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second City Sam's Hot Takes right here on Anchor.fm. All right, welcome back. Second City Sam's Hot Takes back with you. Sam Piopo, Second City Sam. And, yeah, let's get her going with some hot stove action. The White Sox making some moves out here. Yesterday, the White Sox traded, the White Sox traded Dane Dunning and Avery Weems to the Texas Rangers for Lance Lynn, who is a free agent after 2022. So, I saw some mixed opinions about this from the White Sox faithful. Obviously, Lance Lynn is a guy who has consistently been good in the MLB, never a top-tier pitcher or anything. But he's a guy who can eat up innings and really give you some quality outings. So Lance Lynn is now a Chicago White Sox. But the controversy is surrounding Dane Dunning, who is a 25-year-old prospect that the Sox really liked on the mound. And, you know, I think he's going to get... He's going to get a shot over there in Texas because Dane Dunning has good stuff, and he showed it at times during the season last year with the Sox. So interesting there to say the least. Dane Dunning now a Texas Ranger, and also yesterday the White Sox signed Adam Eaton to a 1-year $7 million contract. Adam Eaton, former White Sox, obviously, I saw a lot of negative opinions about this because of the guys who are also available. Michael Brantley's obviously available. Jock Peterson available. It seems like the Sox went the cheaper option with Adam Eaton, which, you know, the Sox have been known to do in the past. They've been known to take a cheap way out. But Adam Eaton, still a formidable MLB player, obviously had a stint with the White Sox before, so he could be a big help. He could be a big help to the White Sox this coming year, and obviously, if they like what they see from him, he could stick around for another year after that, or multiple years even. Also, it looks like the White Sox are not done. The White Sox are also in the running for closer Liam Hendricks. Obviously, Liam Hendricks coming from the A's. Great closer, one of the best in the league. White Sox, if they get him, they're in business, honestly. And you could tell that the White Sox are in win-now mode at this point because they're making moves. They're getting rid of their prospects. And when you're getting rid of your prospects, the fans aren't going to like it. But that means that you're acquiring pieces to win now. Because to acquire pieces that are going to help you win now, you got to give up some of your top-tier prospects like that. And getting rid of Dane Dunning really shows that, you know, the White Sox are willing to spend and they're willing to pay the willing to give up these prospects to win now because they have a window that is wide the hell open right now to win. So we'll see if they do anything else. There's still they're still not done, apparently. There's still a ton of trade possibilities. Obviously, Michael Brantley, Jock Peterson. What about Chris Bryant? Cubs are trying to unleash Chris Bryant. And the White Sox, you know, that would push them over the top. A guy like Chris Bryant. What about Jose Quintana? I'm hearing rumors that the Sox may look to reunite with their former starting pitcher, Jose Quintana, who obviously shipped up to the north side with the Cubs in that trade in 2017. So, I mean, that would be a good fit. The Sox are still looking for one more arm. Quintana, back of the rotation type guy, can eat up innings. Not the best pitcher. Even if he was a spot starter or something like that for the White Sox, that would be huge. That's just another depth piece. So a trade for Quintana, you know, might not be the worst thing. And obviously, there's still free agent possibilities as well. Trevor Bauer. If I'm Rick Hahn, if I'm Jerry Reinsdorf, I am putting a blank check in front of Trevor Bauer. Because a guy like that, as your ace, with the guys you already have, that is a team right there. They get a guy like Trevor Bauer. I would have them at the top favorite to win the World Series. They get Trevor Bauer. What about Kyle Schwarber? That would be a good DH, option for them, eh? Kyle Schwarber, get you your home runs, get you your good at bats, good on base percentage. You know, you never know. It doesn't look like the Sox are going to re-sign James McCann. He's going to be lost to free agency. But you weren't going to keep two top-tier catchers like that anyway. You weren't going to be able to keep them because you're not going to be able to give them enough playing time. So, Yasmani Grandal is the obvious option at catcher, in my opinion, anyway. So, they're going to lose James McCann, but the Sox are making moves here, ladies and gentlemen. And if I'm on the South Side, I am jumping for joy because, you know, it was about at this time 6 years ago when the Cubs were at the peak of their rebuild, and they were going after John Lester at this time because I saw it in my Facebook memories this morning. So, you know what happened just 2 seasons later for the Cubs? They got John Lester, and 2 seasons later, the World Series champions. Sox are trying to make these moves. They're trying to make these signings. Maybe some foreshadowing right there, huh? So, good things coming from the White Sox. It's going to be interesting to see if they make any more moves. The Cubs have not made any moves as of yet. Chris Bryant, obviously, still probably going to get traded before the season. We're going to have to wait and see what happens there. There's a whole bunch of commotion going on the north side and the south side. And you know what? They're on two completely different wavelengths because the Sox are bringing people in and the Cubs are unleashing people. So it seems to be a tale of two ways right now. They're both going opposite ways. Interesting stuff there. To the NHL. They are eyeing a January 13th start, 56-game season, after the league and the NHLPA agreed to the financials. So all that means now is that they have to come together on a collective bargaining agreement, on a season, in other words. They have to agree on a season, how, you know, things are going to work, division realignment, and anything to keep the players safe is what they're going to have to do. And actually, about 3 hours ago, Pierre LeBrun, who is he's a top guy. He's like the Adam Schefter of hockey, pretty much. He tweeted this, not finalized yet and still subject to change, but the 2020-2021 Ford Division realignment currently looks like this, according to sources. Boston, Buffalo, New Jersey, New York Islanders, New York Rangers, Pittsburgh and Washington and Philadelphia would be a division. Carolina, Columbus, Detroit, Chicago, Florida, Minnesota, Nashville, Tampa Bay would be a division. So that would mean that the Hawks and Red Wings would be in the same division again, finally, for the first time since 2013. And Anaheim, Arizona, Colorado, Dallas, Los Angeles, San Jose, St. Louis, and Vegas would be in a division. That would be a pretty fun division. And fourth, the fourth division would be all the Canadian teams. So we're going to have a Canadian division in the NHL. How cool is that? Pretty sweet. So the Hawks would be looking at a Carolina, Columbus, Detroit, Florida, Minnesota, Nashville, Tampa Bay schedule. Interesting to say the least. Be fun to get back to playing the Red Wings a lot. You know, the Hawks are going to get smoked by most of these people in this division. Most of the teams in this division. They're definitely going to get smoked by Tampa. They're going to get smoked by Carolina. Florida's an up-and-comer. Columbus is still good. The only teams they have chances of really, you know, really being better than are the Detroit Red Wings and the Minnesota Wild and maybe the Nashville Predators, depending on what's going on with them this year. So interesting to say the least, the NHL finally putting some pen to paper here, and they're going to get a season going, hopefully, by January 13th. I don't care how bad the Hawks are going to be. I just want to watch hockey again, which I'm sure the rest of you can attest to. But yeah, there's that. Finishing off, we got some wrestling talk. WWE NXT War Games was last weekend on Sunday. Wow, that was a fun show. If you didn't watch it, I suggest you do. Lots of fun. The women's war game match, we had Io Shirai, Shotzi Blackheart, what's her name? Ember Moon, and of course Rhea Ripley, versus Team Candice, which consisted of Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez, and Toni Storm. That was a really, really fun match. Those ladies worked their ass off inside that cage. It was really good, which I'm going to give them credit for. But I will say, since the return of the War Games match, I'd have to say that was the least best. But it was still really good. No disrespect to anybody in that match. The ladies kicked ass. Team Candice won. Raquel Gonzalez got the pin over Io Shirai. It looks like Raquel Gonzalez is getting a push, which is cool because you can really tell how hard she's been working. And she's getting a whole lot better in the ring. And, you know, her match with Ripley was really good. So, good to see Raquel Gonzalez getting a push. She's probably going to get a title match. Totally fine with me. Yeah, great match. I'd give that a 10 out of 10. Ciampa versus Thatcher. Tommaso Ciampa versus Timothy Thatcher. That match was totally old school, totally hard-nosed, fun match to watch. That, ladies and gentlemen, is pro wrestling. Timothy Thatcher's great. He looks like an old-style type wrestler. He looks, he's a hard-nosed, no-teeth type wrestler who can really kick some ass. And Tommaso Ciampa proved that his mat work is still really good despite being that brawler type wrestler. Tommaso Ciampa got the win. Another key thing about that match was the knee that Tommaso Ciampa delivered to Timothy Thatcher just made his ear gush blood. It was filthy to see that happening. It made the match that much better. So, cool stuff there from that match. This match coming up next was a little weird, but I liked it. Cameron Grimes versus Dexter Lumis in a strap match. I'm usually not too big on strap matches, but those two got it done. They got chemistry, Grimes being scared of Lumis. It's a lot of fun. It was fun. Lumis gets the win, as expected. Their feud is probably over. It's been on long enough. And, that's the end of that. The men's war game match. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. That was one of the match of the year candidates, in my opinion. You had the Undisputed Era. Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong, and Bobby Fish. They faced Team McAfee. Pat McAfee, Pete Dunne, Danny Burch, and Oney Lorcan. Holy hell. That match was so good. Man, that match was good. Spot after spot, everything was done so well. And you know what? This right here is a Pat McAfee appreciation podcast because that guy kicked some ass. He could tell how hard he's been working to to perform and take these bumps and take these risks and wrestle. Pat McAfee can wrestle. That was such a good job by him. He looked like he belonged. He kicked out of a Panama Sunrise. That was awesome. I thought the match was over. I popped hard when he kicked out. And the, you know, the leap off the cage was awesome. He did a great moonsault. Pat McAfee worked his ass off in that match. And so did everyone. Bobby Fish and Pete Dunne looked really, really good in that match. I think Kyle O'Reilly and Pete Dunne wrestled for probably about 5 minutes while everybody was down, and they kicked so much ass. Oney Lorcan's really, really good, very underrated. Kind of reminds me of a Cesaro. Danny Burch, awesome professional wrestler. Roderick Strong, obviously still one of the best. Bobby Fish doing really well. And I'll tell you what, Adam Cole, for as much shit as I give him, that guy's awesome. He's really, really freaking good. And I hope that he stays with the company for a long time, even though his wife is in AEW. But, man, if not, that would be such a huge loss for WWE, because this guy has world championship material written all over him. So, yeah, really, really fun show. If you haven't watched NXT War Games, I recommend that you do, because it was really a lot of fun to watch. AEW Dynamite review. How about this? Kenny Omega versus Jon Moxley, and what happens? Kenny Omega beats Jon Moxley, which I kind of expected, but he seemingly turns heel because Don Callis from Impact Wrestling helped him win the title via a microphone hit to the head. Holy shit. I'll tell you what. AEW continues to amaze me, because that was the most god-awful end of a title reign I've ever seen in my life. A long title reign at that. From one of your top stars, you end with a mic shot to the head from a screw job from a guy who doesn't even work there in Don Callis. I hated everything about that ending. Loved the match. Great match. The ending truly pissed me off. And it made me not want to watch AEW more, which I didn't think was a possibility at this point, because I don't like watching AEW. I watch it right now only to be able to talk about it on this show. I think the show sucks. The only other thing that really came out of that show for me is that Inner Circle was given an ultimatum by Chris Jericho that if they can't get along, then next week the Inner Circle will break up, because MJF, obviously, as a part of the Inner Circle, hasn't gone to plan, because, you know, all the other guys don't like him and all that other shit. Whatever. I hate the Inner Circle. I just thought it was worth mentioning. AEW coming on in just about a half an hour at the time of this recording. Probably watch NXT first, and maybe watch AEW after or tomorrow. I don't know yet. As for Raw and SmackDown, not a whole lot for me. The Roman Reigns stuff is still a lot of fun. Him and Kevin Owens are going to tear the house down at TLC. In the TLC match, I really, really hope that some weird shit happens and Kevin Owens somehow wins the title, but that's probably not going to happen. So, yeah, I won't even mention it. Watched the whole Raw episode last night, Monday. Thought it was a fun show. The stuff with Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt is excellence. It really is. It's good stuff. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus being a tag team is a lot of fun. Just two boys beating the hell out of each other, even backstage after Sheamus accidentally broke-kicked Drew McIntyre and they lost the match. They fight it out backstage, and then they put Pat Buck through a table and go out for a couple of pints like two old boys will do. So that was a lot of fun. The thing with Lana and Asuka versus Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler is getting kind of weird for me, but it's fun. I have no problem with them trying to make Lana look good, look like an actual wrestler. Next week she's facing Nia Jax, so she's going to inevitably get put through a table. So we're going to have to see what happens there. But yeah, that's really about it for professional wrestling this week, guys. I'm going to sit back and enjoy some NXT wrestling here in just a little bit. And maybe some AEW after that if I'm still up for it. Don't know if I will be. But yeah, that is a wrap for this week's episode of Second City Sam's Hot Takes. Like always, I appreciate anyone who gives this show a try. If this is your first time listening, I appreciate you listening, and I hope that you continue to. And please give the show a share for all my friends out there. Share it with your friends, share it with your family. Get the show name out there. Follow me on Twitter at Second City Sam. Give the show page a like on Facebook, Second City Sam's Hot Takes on Facebook, or you can go to facebook.com/SCS Hot Takes. Give that page a like, give that page a follow. And yeah, that is it for me. I'd like to thank you all once more for listening, and I hope you guys have a great weekend. I have a long weekend again, like I do almost every week right now. I am off Friday through Monday, and I hope you guys have a long weekend too. If not, please be safe. Please have yourself a good weekend, and we'll see you next Wednesday right here on Second City Sam's Hot Takes.